You're tuned in to The Morning Program with Nadia Mitsopoulos.
ABC Radio Perth and WA.
Well, Tim Winton delivered the closing address at Perth's Festival's Writers' Weekend last night, and he used his speech to take aim at WA's reliance on the oil and gas industry, what he calls the colonisation of oil and gas of our society and culture. Have a listen to what Tim Winton thinks, because he joins me now, and it's not often that he talks to the media. Tim, lovely to talk to you. Thanks for your time.
Hi, morning, Nadia. How are you?
Good, thanks. Tim, you are known for shying away from doing interviews. I wonder why you're choosing to speak this morning.
Oh, well, I guess we all find moments in life where you just don't get a choice. You feel that you have to speak up, you know. I'm a grandfather now, and I've just got to answer to my children and to my grandchildren. In the future, they'll have every right to ask what we did to help secure their future. And this is one of those instances, I think.
Last night you took aim at our state's dependence on the oil and gas industry. What did you say?
Well, I was just trying to point out, really, that the big fossil companies have a disproportionate influence on our society and on our culture, and that if we're trying to give ourselves any chance of meeting the climate challenge, the emergency that we're facing, then we've got to extricate ourselves from their influence and think with clearer heads. Because the fact is, the oil and gas interests don't have our best interests at heart. They've known about the dangers for years, and I think we need to extricate ourselves. We need to fight our own fight.
How do we do that? What do you mean when you talk about extricating ourselves, given it's, you know, our biggest industry here in WA that underpins our economy, and obviously it comes with great financial risk. So when you talk about extricating, what do you mean?
Well, exactly? Firstly, let me remind you that it's not our biggest industry, the mining industry. Iron ore is a much bigger contributor to our economy. But yeah, look, I don't think we recognise just how deep and far the influence of the big fossils goes. I mean, even at the beach, our kids, even if they want to become lifesavers, they've got to become woodside nippers first. And the oil and gas industry is waiting for them for the rest of their lives. They have to swim and marinate in Santos and Chevron and Shell for the rest of their lives, even at university. So I think we just have to recognise the disproportionate influence that the industry has and have a clearer view. If we're going to take serious action on climate, and we need to, we've only got probably 10 years, we need to separate ourselves from that influence and look to what we can do to prioritise our own survival.
And it's interesting you mentioned Woodside and nippers, because we actually covered this issue last year, and there were parents that were actually covering the Woodside logo on their kids' T-shirts because they felt uncomfortable receiving that money. But it's when you look at these community organisations and these voluntary organisations, they rely on sponsorships, don't they, and donations. So
yeah,
it's a really difficult issue for them.
Yes, and no, I understand that, and I've had, you know, quite a bit to do with community organisations. I think what we need to recognise is that this is not the only form of philanthropy that's available to us. The industry is really good at making itself seem utterly indispensable to civilisation, but it's not indispensable. There's other forms of philanthropy. We do have choices here. We're not forced somehow, and we shouldn't be feeling forced to take this kind of money. I mean, you know, the ABC had a story this morning from Tyne Logan about the Perth heatwave and the role that climate change is playing in it. I mean, this just underscores the point. Why are we still dancing with the big players who are doing the most to retard our action on climate change when we don't have to? Why do we feel that we have to? Doesn't that show that we're captives? Doesn't that mean we're chumps?
And Tim, you made these comments last night, delivering this speech at a Perth Festival event, and an event that received funding from some of these resource companies that you're talking about. Was that an awkward position to be in?
Yeah, look, it's embarrassing for everybody. And look, I was disappointed to find that the festival still takes money from Chevron, but you know, I'm hoping that this is an opportunity, you know, by discussing this in a rational and civilized way, in a spirit of collegiality, that, you know, we might, as an arts industry, get past this reliance on an industry that doesn't have our interests at heart. Its interests do not, in the end, align with our interests as artists or as an audience. And at the risk of causing embarrassment, I just tried to respectfully bring up this great reeking elephant in the room. You know, we have to acknowledge it. We have to move on. You know, the time for fiddling around on this stuff, that's behind us, you know. Last drinks was ages ago.
The arts community, it does rely very heavily on this funding, and I just wonder what the way forward is. If you are saying at a community level they need to start saying, no, we don't want your money, how do they survive?
Well, again, there's this kind of false sense of, you know, that there's only one shop in town that you can go to for funding. And I've found, you know, Perth's been interesting. I used to sling off a bit about Perth philanthropy and the kind of the correlation between, you know, the closed fist and the closed mind, you know, that new money was always hard to get people to, you know, to contribute to community stuff. But there's, you know, quite a few philanthropists in Perth that, you know, took offence at that and decided to prove me wrong. And I've met a lot of really interesting, really ethical, committed people who are contributing to culture and society and the community action in Perth and in Western Australia. So I think there's lots of opportunities for arts organisations, community organisations, to look elsewhere. But let's face it, banks, super groups, investor groups, they're all divesting of fossil fuels. Why should the arts industry in particular, and why should community organisations be less imaginative and less morally aware than bankers?
And Tim,
no offence to bankers.
Whenever we talk about this issue, immediately we get texts saying, okay then, Tim, how did you, do you still use a car? How did you cook your breakfast? You know, it's exactly the kind of texts we talk about, we get, and people say, well, hang on, you use this fossil fuel that you want us to move away from. How do you respond to that sort of criticism?
Well, of course I do. We're all trying to extricate ourselves from this form of energy, you know. And, okay, I have two cars. One's an electric, one's a diesel. When I can get a four-wheel drive that, you know, because I need to for work, when I can get that to run electric and have range, then I'm fine. But we need incentives, you know. We're all trying to move out of the 19th century and the 20th century. We're 22 years into the new century, and we're still relying on old technology. And there's so much new stuff coming down the pipe. We've got so much access to, you know, free sunshine and wind, and we're terrified of making this move. But I don't think it's an accident that we're terrified. We've been sort of loomed over. We've been gaslit for so long that we're afraid to make this move. And also our governments, our leaders, are even more terrified than us. They're not giving us incentives. They're not helping us. They're not leading us out of this problem. They're too caught up with their reliance on the influence of the industries that are doing the least to help us, not the most.
I'll leave it there. A rare opportunity to talk to you, Tim Winton. I appreciate your time. Thanks.
You're tuned in to The Morning Program with Nadia Mitsopoulos.
ABC Radio Perth and WA.